All right, great people, welcome, welcome. God bless you. We apologize for coming a couple of minutes than scheduled. I believe God that God has a word for you, and as the word comes, your life is going to turn around, your life is going to change. Don't forget, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:13, he that despiseth the word shall be destroyed. When you despise the word, or you do not place premium on the word of God, the Bible says shall be destroyed. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that has found great spoil. In other words, when I see an opportunity for your word to be released, I am excited. Anytime I see a window for the word of God to be communicated, I am excited. He said, our eyes were open while he yet speak with us. Nothing brings illumination like revelation. So the word of God is going to come our way. And I believe God that it will answer some questions in your life. It will put an end to some challenges of human life, some of the confrontations that you may be having. And all I need you to do is to open up your heart so that the word of God will put on flesh. Don't forget Psalm 19:14, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I need you to believe God with me today that a word is coming your way. But like we do all the time, we need to get access into the throne as we worship God Almighty. Father, we thank you. You are not a man, oh. You are not a man, oh. You are the God that opened us. No one like you. You are not a man, no. You are not a man, no. You are the God of everything. No one like you. You are not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You are the God that opened us. No man can shut. You are not a man, no. You are not a man, no. You are the God of everything. No one like you. No one like you. No one like you. No one like you. Savior, no one like you. You are the God of everything. No one like you. You are the God of everything.
No one like you.
Awesome God, how great thou art. You alone, my fear. I am in records I'm standing on your holy name. Lord, we bow, we worship you. Awesome God, how great. I am in records, I'm standing on the holy name. Lord, we bow
and worship you.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasures that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking
But to give up, I'll be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We adore you. Daily, you are making yourself very real to us. Receive strength again today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. God bless you. Every one of us watching, I need you to know God's going to touch you. Hebrews 11 verse 5, popular verse of scripture, popular verse of scripture. Hebrews 11, 5, popular verse of scripture. I'm going to consider the man, Enoch, and just one thing that he did that stood him out. Hebrews 11 verse 5, he says, "But by faith Enoch walked with God, as was translated, that he should not see that. And was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God." Walking with God. Enoch walked with God. He was translated that he was not found. But before his translation, he had a testimony that it pleased God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch walked with God. I want to talk on walking with God. Enoch had a relationship with God that translated him, and he did not see death. Now that can happen to us today. It might not be literal physical death. It might be when you walk with God, there'll be prevention from financial debt, marital debt, material debt. So I want to consider walking with God. In Genesis chapter 17 verse 1, God said to Abraham, he said, "Walk with me," or "walk before me, and be thou perfect." Everyone who stood out in their days were men who walked with God. In Genesis 6 verse 9, speaking of Noah, the Bible says, "Noah walked with God. In his day, he was a just man, he was perfect, he walked with God." There's a difference between walking with God and walking for God. The problem we have, a lot of people walk for God and they don't walk with God. You can. As a matter of fact, you can walk for God and not walk with God. But you cannot walk with God and not walk for God. That is why whenever God addresses his people, walking, W-A-L-K, always comes before W-O-R-O-K. W-A-L-K always comes before W-O-R-O-K. So walking with God is paramount than walking for God. So it's important that you understand it. Walking with God, walking for God. Let me describe it. Walking for God is what you do that everybody knows, everybody sees. Walking for God is what you do that everybody applauds. Walking with God is what you do when nobody is there, when nobody is watching. Okay? In Genesis, Exodus 28:20, I think, God was talking about walking with God before walking for God. "That you shall teach the people that they shall walk with me, then walk for me." It's important that you understand. The sons of Eli, the reason God was angry with them, the Bible said they did not walk in the ways of the Lord. They were walking for the Lord. They were priests in the temple. What they do is that they take the flesh and give the people the fat to sacrifice to God. And God did not want the fat. What God wanted was the flesh. When the flesh is consumed, the fire goes to heaven. God accepts the sacrifice. But what they did, they took the flesh in the sacrifices and gave God the fat. So they were actually in the temple physically. They were available. Physically, they were available, but they were not walking with God. 1 Samuel chapter 8, I think verse 3. They were not walking with God. He said the sons of Eli did not walk with God. They did not walk in the ways. The Bible says, "And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside." They didn't walk with God. So it's important that we understand that what God wants is for us to walk with him, not just walking for him. When your walk for God now affects your walk with God, quit that walk for God and go to the walk with God. Again, when your walk for God now affects your walk with God. Quit that walk for God and strengthen your walk with God. When it's now solid, you cannot begin to work for God. What that means, if for example you are in the church, you are a leader or something, and you discover you are plunging deep into sin by reason of your position has given you access into sin, resign from the position, give it to somebody else, let somebody else handle it. Stretching your walk with God, when you know you are now solid enough, then you can go into working for God. It's important. God said to Abraham, walk with me. Now, before then, Abraham has been working for God. Don't forget, God appeared to him in Genesis 15, verse 1. He said, I'm thy seed, thy exceeding great reward. He was working for God. He was working. Genesis 15, 1, he started working. Chapter 16, he started working. Don't forget, it was in chapter 16, was the first time when he went into a country in Egypt, and he said Sarah was his sister. He lied. He was already working for God, but not working with God. So when God showed him mercy, God came back and established a covenant in verse 1. He said, walk before me. Chapter 17, walk before me and be thou perfect. So what God wants for us to esteem is our walk with God. Because God does not reward you ultimately by your walk for him, but your walk with him. Your reward is on the premise of your walk with God, not your walk for God. And it's important that when we are walking with God, we put some things into consideration. I wrote down a few points which I'm going to explain to us. Walking with God is better than walking for him. Now, when you walk with God, everyone that walks with God has a desire to please God. Walking with God, there is an overwhelming desire that you have to please God. You have a desire to please God. The passion you have is that you please God. In this position you are given while you're working for him, in this thing you are given, you are first accountable to God before man. You are accountable to God before man. All the time of old, from scriptures in the Old Testament, what God expects of them is that they should please him while they walk with him. Okay? The desire to please God. The desire to please God is very important. In Leviticus 26, if you read verse 21, the Lord was talking about walking with him, and he was saying that it's important that you desire to please God. He said, if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken, I will bring seven times. That's what God is saying. If you decide to walk against me, he said, I'll give you plague seven times what I gave to them in Egypt. You walk with God, the desire to please God. Romans 8:8, he said, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1, he says, when you please God, you are bound more and more. Furthermore, brethren, we beseech you and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of our, you ought to walk and to please God. You see that? Walk and please God, you would abound. So please, it is good to walk for God, but let's begin to esteem walking with God. When you walk for God, no, people applaud you. People get awards walking for God. The church awards them. Or people get reward walking with God. People get awards walking for God, but you get reward walking with God. Because walking for God is what everybody sees. But walking with God is what you, God, and a few people know about. So please begin to strive to walk with God. Begin to strive to walk with God. Begin to strive to walk with God. Enoch walked with God and was not found. He had a testimony that he pleased God. If you read Enoch, the biggest Enoch story, go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. It talked about how Enoch walked with God. And he said he gave birth to Methuselah. Enoch walked with God and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he had begat Methuselah. Methuselah is known as the first man who was the progenitor of longevity. He lived 969. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Walk with God, begat Methuselah. Methuselah is known for longevity. Walk with God, begat Methuselah. Methuselah is known for longevity. So that tells me, if I walk with God, I will live long. Long life is on the premise of walking with God. When you walk with God, you will live long. So nothing guarantees longevity of life, longevity in business, longevity in anything you do, like walking with God. God was talking to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, I think verse 14, and he said to him, I will lengthen thy days. If you walk with me, I will lengthen thy days. If thou shalt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and commandments as thy father David did walk, I will lengthen. In other words, I will give you long life. Solomon died at the age of 89, and he died extremely fulfilled. At the latter part of his life, he walked out of God's ordinances. But when God gave him a word based on the work he had with David, he stood out in his generation. So it's important, walking with God is better than walking for God. Walking with God is better than walking for God. Now, walking with God is having a desire to please God. Walking with God is having a passionate love for God. Nothing helps you to walk with God like when you have a passionate love, like you are in love with God, you love him so much. Loving God is being affectionate. Being affectionate towards God. Having deep affection towards God. In other words, you are so... Have you seen people worshiping God and they are crying? I mean, not everyone. Some people are criminals. Some people are crying are just crooks and criminals looking for who to deceive. But I'm talking about passionate when you are alone. That's how to know you are affectionate in the face of God. Have you seen people worshiping God? They are all lost in the presence of God. They are all lost. They are affectionate. And some others are worshiping God. They are looking around. Certain things reveal the state of your heart. I tell people that most time, your posture in the spirit reveals, reveals the state of your heart. It reveals the state of your heart. It doesn't matter how much scriptures you know in your spirit. You mustn't carry your Bible around. I was somewhere sometime, somebody said, just walked in, he was called to preach, he walked to the altar without a Bible. And he said, you know, I've come to a point in life where we have become the Bible. I walked out of the meeting. I said, I'm not the Bible, I can never get to that point where I've become the Bible. So because he had multiplicity of scriptures, which to me were even faulty, I mean, he walked to the altar without a Bible. No, you don't do that. So it's important that you, it's good. To walk, you see, it's like someone who is a Sunday school teacher, and by reason of being a Sunday school teacher in church, hey, your prayer life has been affected, your study life has been affected. It's so funny. You are trying to meet up with the things of God, and you are missing God in the process. It's funny. Your passion for God, your love for God helps you in walking with God. It's a revelation. It reveals your walk with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord was speaking, verse 16. The Lord was trying to explain that to us, that if you keep his commandments, to love God and to walk in his ways. So, you must love him first before you walk in his ways. Number three, walking with God reveals your fear for God. In Psalm 128, this is a Bible study, so you should be able to take down scriptures. In Psalm 128, verse 1, the Lord makes it clear. When you fear the Lord, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Fear God is not to be scared of God. Fear God is to always consider God's reaction before an action. Before any action you take, you're like, how would God see this? Sometimes when you can deal with people, you can really mess people up. They offend you, you can mess them up. There's something you remember. How will God feel if this happens? How will God feel if I do this? He's been always conscious of heaven's reaction before any action. When you are baptized with that mentality, it means you fear God. So, I've been able to establish walking with God. You need to fear God. You need to love God. And you need to please God. So, walking with God, number one, how do I walk with God? Number one, walking with God is walking in his word. Walking with God is walking in his word. To walk with God, you must walk in his word. You must walk in his word. Nothing helps you to walk with God because God places so much premium on his word. God exalt his word. Psalm 138 verse 2. I've exalted my word above my name. God has exalted his word above my name. Now, it's not as though the word of God is higher than the name of God. No, it is his word that establishes his name. He's trying to say, if my word is no more potent, then my name is useless. That's what that scripture means. I've exalted. Bring out the Message translation. bring out the message translation of this scripture. I kneel in worship, facing your holy temple, and say it again. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your love, thank you for your faithfulness. Most holy is your name, most holy is your word. You see that? God was trying to say, my name is my name because of my word. Okay? I'm called Almighty God because I do what I say. That is what it means by I've exalted my word above my name. In other words, the reason my name is established is because of my word. So the word of God is important. Like I said when we're starting Proverbs 13:13, despise the word, be destroyed. The word is important. Matthew 24, verse 35. It's a heaven and earth. You know what that means? Everything fails, but not my word. It shall never pass away. It shall never. The word of God is God's surgical tool. When you are conscious of walking in that word, it helps you. It's God's surgical tool. Hebrews 4:12. The word is quick. The word is powerful. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, Hebrews 4 verse 12, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, that's surgery, and of the joints and marrows, is a discerner of the thought. In other words, the word of God, when it comes into your life, it begins to search for things. It takes out what is wrong. It takes away, it purges your drawers and takes away your thing. God's word is God's surgical tool. Anytime God wants to operate on people, God wants to navigate a man's future, God says his word. So if you must walk with God like Abraham did, like Noah did, like Enoch did, that he did not see death. Till then, nobody knew how Enoch left this world. Some say he disappeared. Some say he walked to heaven. So all kinds of statements being made over Enoch's disappearance. But the truth is, he walked with God. In other words, Enoch's exit is a mystery. So your life can become a mystery when you walk with God, walking in his word. How do I walk in God's word? Number one, know it. Know it. You must know the word. You must carry your Bible. How can you, as a believer, I say this all the time, if you are a Christian, you have spent 3 years as a Christian, and you have not finished the Bible once, you are irresponsible. That's the height of spiritual irresponsibility. That you are a Christian, 3 years, maximum, that's what I mean. I finished the Bible in 6 months. I'm 6 months in faith when I finished the Bible. I was 6 months in the Lord when I finished the Bible. Because this is what is going to guide me. Why would I know it? I was 6 months in the Lord when I finished. I took it. I just started reading it. And I went through. And you see somebody who says he's a Christian for 5 years. He doesn't even know some part of scriptures. I know there are parts of scriptures that many of us don't even read. And I can call some of the books that we don't read. Matthew, Mark, you read them. Psalm, you read them because of enemies. You have many enemies, so you read Psalm. You give them Psalm 109. Their children cursed, their family cursed, the wife be a widow. You know those kind of scriptures. Psalm 27, you open Psalm 27 and put your pillow on top, and you don't put your head. So when the demons want to oppress you, they lift your head, they remove the Bible, beat you, put the Bible back and put your head. And you say, but the Bible was here. It's under your pillow. It's not in your heart. Somebody said to me, he opened Psalm 91, told me one time, he said, is the Bible real? I said, the Bible is real. He said, okay, how come? They oppress me. I opened Psalm 91, I put my Bible, I flip on top, I said, not just demons, angels will even join and beat you for sleeping on the Bible. What do you think that is? The Bible is not in your heart. You need the word of God that I hid in my heart, not my head. You know it stays in your heart. You know it. Know the word. You need knowledge of God's word. You need knowledge of the word of God. You need knowledge. You need knowledge of the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 11 verse 9, I'm telling you, this is mind-blowing. Proverbs 11 9 said something that I said years ago. It said, true knowledge. The man who claims he is just, his true knowledge, he shall be delivered. Okay. In Isaiah 33, if you read verse 6, the Bible says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, the strength of thy salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Meaning, what helps you to be stable every time? It is knowledge of the word of God. Paul was talking to them in Acts 17, verse 23. He said, I was walking past, I saw an inscription to the unknown God. Jesus was talking to the woman by the well in John 4:22. He said, you worship what you know not. You know not what you worship, but we know what we worship. The Lord was speaking in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3. He said, the ox knows his master, the ox knows his owner, but my people have not known me. The Lord said in the book of Jeremiah 4:22, these people are foolish. They have not known me. So, It's important that you know the word. Carry the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, read. There are chapter books you don't read. I can tell you some of them. Zephaniah, you don't read Zephaniah. Some of us don't know if Zephaniah is in the Bible. You have read books like that. You have read Philemon. Those are the very, very strategic books that you have not even opened. You've never run through them. You avoid that. You avoid certain scripture, Nahum. That one, the name itself. The name looks too terrible for me to start. Nahum. You don't read Matthew 1 because Matthew 1 confuses you. This begat this. And you say, begat. Chapter 2. You open chapter 2. I can tell you scriptures that don't appeal. You have to go through everything. When you go through Leviticus, sometimes you almost get discouraged. When I first started reading the Bible, Leviticus almost discouraged me. When I got to the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, it was like war. Kings go to war, go to fight. To me, it was like comic. You know, comic. When we were younger, we need to get comic. To me, it was like movie. Kings go to war, Jehoshaphat shepherd and five other kings. I'm like, this thing is so sweet. Oh. To me, it was like, it was thrilling me. But I had passion. God also had passion for it. So it entered into my spirit. I had a desire to know it. So what I'm saying, from tomorrow, start from Genesis 1. Run through that you can leave the Bible and say, I've gone through this. Now I know it. How do you know? You know the word of God by going through it over and over and over again. Over and over and over and over again. That's how the word of God sticks in your spirit. So it doesn't matter what God says you are. It doesn't matter what God has said about you. If you do not know it, it's a problem. Psalm 82 from verse 5. He said, they know not. Psalm 82, 5 to 7. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and the foundations of the earth are out of course. For I have said, ye are gods, and ye all are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and shall fall like one of the princes. What makes you God? G-O-D, little God. It is the word of God, you know. John 10, 35. If you call them God, unto whom the word of God came, the scriptures cannot be broken. So, the word of God coming to you is what establishes your God status. Know the Bible. Know the word. Know the scripture, rather. Know the scriptures. It's very important. 2 Timothy 3.15, I think, or 1 Timothy 2 Timothy 3.15. Since thou was a child, thou was not the Holy Scripture that is made able to make thee wise unto salvation. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise. He was trying to say to Timothy, even as a child, you knew the Scripture. And today some people claim to be spiritual adults, as it were, and they have no knowledge of God's Word. In the time of trial, the time of trouble and tribulation, what you need to overcome is the Word of God. That's what you need to overcome. When Jesus was faced with the devil, he said, it is written. He gave him the Word. So it's important that you do your best to go for the word. Know it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. 1 Timothy 2 4. Apostle Paul was speaking, that I wish that all men be saved and come to the knowledge. Knowledge. In Proverbs 19 verse 2, it says that a soul be without knowledge, it is not good. Know the word. Stop carrying the Bible you are not opening. Know it. Number two, do it. It's not enough to know it, you must do it. It doesn't matter what how much of the word you know. In fact, Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 13, 17. He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Don't just know it, do it. But the Bible says, give. I've seen many people who quote scriptures and they don't do scriptures. The Bible says, give, you don't give, and you know the scriptures on giving, you die poor. The Bible says, have honor for spiritual authority, and you don't, yet you quote it, you will not live long. Do it. Don't just know it, do it. It's very important. Do it when you know it. It's not enough to know scriptures, it's enough to do scriptures. So where we have a problem is that many people know the scriptures concerning health, the scriptures concerning wealth, the scripture concerning improving on that which God has given to them. But they do not do it. You have to do it in James 1 verse 22. He said, be not hearers only, but doers. Be not hearers only, but doers of the word. Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You are deceiving yourself when you know, but you don't do it. There are people that know it is so spiritually wrong. Malice is not of God. They know it, but they still will keep malice. One day, a Sunday school teacher was in the certain church and had a neighbor that was in the crowd that she wasn't talking to. She has not been talking to the neighbor. And they were talking about five qualities of a good Christian. They got to forgiveness. She read the first one, a good Christian, fellowship, a good Christian, this. It got to the, explain. She will read, she will explain. When you got to forgiveness, a good Christian, forgive. Number four. She couldn't explain because the person she was keeping malice with wasn't. So the person shouted, said, please, oh, explain number three. Is a good Christian, forgive, leave it. They said, no, explain number three. A conscience held her. So it's important that you do the word. Number two thing that helps you to walk with God is your association. Your association. You must be extremely careful the people you associate with. You must be careful. The word of God defines your relationship. The word defines your relationship. Your vision regulates your association. The word defines your relationship. Your vision regulates your association. The ultimate goal determines your connection. I'll explain that. The word of God defines your relationship. If you must have a relationship with somebody, you must do it on the platform of the word of God. Relate with them on the word of God. Treat them the way the word of God expects you to treat them. Your vision regulates your association. In other words, the kind of things God has put in your spirit is what gravitates you to people of the same, you know, passion, like minds like you. And also the ultimate goal, someone who is conscious of heaven determines your connection. How you are going to be glued to someone, how you are going to be stuck with somebody is on the platform of how passionate they are about heaven. So it's important that you understand the mystery of association. The mystery of association. The mystery of association. There are people God sees in your life and God opens your door. There are people that walk into your life, your doors are open. There are people that come into your life, your doors are shut. You remember Jonah? The Bible says Jonah was asleep. Everyone was dying. Jonah was asleep and he was behind the problem. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:19 that he that tilleth his ground shall have plenty of silver, but plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Laban was talking to Jacob. He said, I have learned by experience, Genesis 30 verse 27, I have learned by experience that God has blessed me for your sake. Because of my relationship with you, God has blessed me. Give me the Message translation of this scripture. Laban said, if you please, I have learned through divine inquiry that God has blessed me because of you. Okay, so God blessed him because of Jacob. Speaking of Joseph in Genesis 39 verse 5, he said, the Lord prospered the Egyptian for Joseph's sake. The Lord prospered and blessed the Egyptian for Joseph's sake. So, who do you relate with? Who are the kind of people that you relate with? There are friends, there are acquaintances, there are friends, and there are brethren. Three capacities of relationship: your acquaintances, your friends, and brethren. Now, do not treat an acquaintance as a friend. And do not treat a mere friend as a brother. For example, your colleagues at work are not necessarily your friends. They're not necessarily your friends. You don't have to open your heart totally to them. You only open your heart to them when they open their heart to you. You know, it's a connection, a thing of the heart. And you move from, you know, colleagues and friends can hurt each other. But brethren can't hurt each other. Why? Because the connection they have now is spiritual. It's the highest level. It's the highest level. You work together with acquaintances. You live around with acquaintances. You share dreams with friends. you fellowship with brethren. You walk with acquaintances. You talk with them. You relate with them. You share visions and dreams with friends. But you fellowship with brethren. Because this time, you know, the pandemic is over. Church, I said to us that when the Lord told me, I said in May, churches will be opening. And the Lord confirmed that because that's what God told me. Around the world, people are getting back to services and all that. But that should not take the place of physical brethren, gathering together with brethren. Physical gathering. Because Jesus, his tradition, his custom was to go to the temple. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So don't let people tell you that your church is in your heart. Church is not the building. We know. We know church is not the building. We know. Church is not the building. But people in the church gather in the building. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue. Oh, he said, people say you don't have to go to church, you don't have to go to a building to be in church. Just the same way you don't have to go to the stadium to watch match. To me, you don't have to go to the market to buy foodstuffs. You don't have to go to school to be educated. You can learn from home. If that's why you think the church, then every other thing should equally lose value. That's the truth. We all know that. We know the people inside at the church. Yeah, we know. We understand that. There can even be a church in the house. We know. But we are following what the Bible says. We are helpless in this matter. Inasmuch as we know, we are helpless in this matter. In Hebrews 10 verse 25, he said, not forsaking the assembly of the brethren as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Not forsaking the assembly. Assembly. How good and pleasant it is. Psalm 133 verse 1. For brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133 and verse 1. So it's important that we understand the place of association. Get in there. You know, nothing. Your association, they say, determines your acceleration. When you are not careful, whenever you get Egyptian association, it grows. When Abraham was leaving Egypt, Abraham left with his wife and left with a maid. It wasn't sin then. He left with a maid. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. He left with a maid. But anything you take from Egypt grows. He left with Hagar. He left Egypt and he took Egypt with him. So many people have left Egypt, but Egyptian friends are still with them. Friends that... Have you not seen young boys in the church who are believers, who are even in departments in church, who still have friends who are cultists? That they can threaten fellow believers in church with cultists. Those are not believers. Those are not believers. Because if you are really born again and you are a believer, there are certain people that can be your friends because you don't speak the same language, you don't go to the same place, you don't hang out in the same place. If you are still comfortable around sinners, you are not yet saved from sin. Because one of the proofs that you are really saved is that they will become uncomfortable with you. They won't like your presence. What they are saying to you doesn't make sense. You always rebuke them according to Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbeliever. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What relationship has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believeth with an infidel? So it's not going to be comfortable. You can't be comfortable with that. There are people who, even if you leave them, they stick to you. They follow you. They are friends. You try to break away from them. They refuse to leave you like Lot. The Bible says in Genesis 12, it says, and Lot went with him. Abraham didn't take Lot along. Lot went with him. Lot followed him, made himself a partner of Abraham. There are people, you run away from them, you do everything, they will still stick. Pray them out of your life. Pray them. It got to a point where Abraham had to pray Lot. He said, take whatever you want and go. Sacrifice them. Such people, be ready not just to lose them, to lose things along with them. There are some people, you must lose a car while you are losing them. That car is the only connection they have with you. Say, take your car. This is the only thing you gave me that's connecting you to me. Take it, go. This bank account, here's my passbook, here's the checkbook. Go. And Lot went with him. Genesis 12 verse 4. And Lot went with him. You'll be ready. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken, and Lot went with him. He didn't say, and he took Lot along. Lot went with him. Genesis 13, I think verse 5. He said, when the Bible was talking about how Lot was blessed, he said, and Lot, which went, okay, look at that. And Lot also, which went with Abraham. It didn't say which Abraham took along. Lot, there are many people who make themselves your friends, even when you don't want to be friends with them. Define it. As soon as Abraham defined it, it caused a separation. There are people God sees in your life and God blesses you. There are people God sees and God stays his hand. It's important that you become selective. Deliberately make a conscious effort to block some people from your contact. Especially when you discover these people do not add to your spiritual life. Go through your phone. Scroll your phone. Scroll. There are some people that must have no access to you anymore, because anytime you try to go up, they bring you down. Anytime you try to be on fire, they bring you down. Then what are you doing with such people? When Elisha, they met Elisha and said he should prophesy. 2 Kings 3, I think 3, 10, 11 or something. He said, were it not for Hezekiah, I would not have spoken. If not for Hezekiah, I won't speak. I'm speaking now because of Hezekiah. In other words, the grace of God and the giftings of God in me is activated because of this man. God said to Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 24, I will bless you for Abraham, thy father's sake. Genesis 26, 24. For Abraham, thy father's sake. In Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, he that walketh to the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So, this tells you, you must be very picky to walk with God, walk in his word. In his word, you must know it, you must do it. Number two, to walk with God, you must, as a matter of urgency, become extremely careful. Do you know one of the reasons it was easy for David to conquer Goliath? It was easy for David to conquer Goliath because he had not mixed up with those people who were there for 40 days, mixed up. He was coming fresh. Sometimes when you stay too long with people, normally what we do is we pray for the sick all the time, but let me go back to what I just studied, what I just shared with us. Walking with God, the word of God is very important when you're walking with God. Walking with God is pleasing God, loving God, and fear for God. And the word of God is very important. Walking with God is different from walking for God. So don't strive to be a good singer. Strive to be a good Christian. Don't strive. It's as a choir leader, your position suddenly opened you up to sin. That you are sinking in sin. Resign. Step aside. And tell them, let me build back my life. My spiritual life. And I'll come back to the position. Help yourself. Don't promote walking for God, but promote walking with God. And I said, the word of God helps you to walk with God. You know, you know it, you do it. And I said, your relationship, you have to be very, very careful. Vision determines relationship. The ultimate goal also helps you to define it and regulate it. So it's important that you know all of this. Do not make friends and intimate relationships with unbelievers. God is going to help you to walk with Him. God is going to help you to be a better Christian. Every day of your life is going to produce results. Take this. After this, you can watch this again. Study it. Get the word into your spirit. Because by Tuesday next week, we're going to come back to study another dimension of walking with God. The Lord told me, whenever you pray for the sick, I'll be there. So I'm going to pray for those of us who need healing in our body. But before then, we'll take a few testimonies of what God is doing in our lives. Praise God. During the Bible study last week, when Papa was praying for the sick, I called the name of a friend that was having ulcer. Before then, he was actually feeling the pains. So after I connected to Papa's prayer, I called him 2 days and he said no pain at all. 2 days ago, another friend said to me she has been having ulcer, looking for money to buy drugs. I said no. We use faith to buy healing. I told her to watch last week Bible study on Celebration TV. After watching, she called me the next day that she is and said she is healed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I thank the God of Apostle Johnson Suleiman for healing me. I was mad. Awesome. For 5 years, since I started watching Papa online, God delivered me and changed my life. Thank you, Jesus. Papa, God bless you and your family. In Jesus' name, Egosa Osazua. Good evening, Daddy. I had ovarian cyst. After Papa's prayer, ovarian cyst disappeared. Thank you, Jesus. I am delivered. Precious from Abuja. God bless you. I am healed of migraine and headache. My case was mentioned. To God be the glory. Apostle Felix Udo Obong. Uyo. God is awesome. Praise Jesus. Papa had a big headache like migraine. When you prayed about migraine, the pain is gone. I bless the name of the Lord. Mary Nairobi. That's in Kenya. I had tube blockage. When Papa said we should place our right hand where we have pains, I placed mine on my tummy. I felt cold in my belly. When Papa mentioned my case, he said he sees tube blockage now open. Thank you, Jesus. My tube is now open. Gillian from Limbe, Cameroon. Good evening, Papa. Last week, I was healed of spinal cord pain that lasted 14 years and growth under my arm. Glory to God, Helen Velo. God bless you. Last week, as Papa was praying, he said every tube that has been blocked is open, and immediately I felt a release. Thank you, Jesus. Rachel from Benue State. Good evening, Papa. I want to thank God for healing me from serious headache and fever. I was healed, but as Papa prayed for the sick, I am healed. Glory to Jesus. Bathsheba Mose from Abuja. God bless you. I experienced migraine headache for about 2 years. It became more painful this year, which led to carrying out x-ray. After connecting to Sunday's prayers, I'm completely healed. Thank you, Jesus. Ugo, Port Harcourt. More grace. Last week, I took my wife to the hospital for a checkup, and the doctors told us something happened to the baby, that he is breathing faster in the womb, and my wife's blood pressure was high. During the night, pains came, and we are not experiencing delivery. I texted Papa, and he replied, my wife has delivered a baby girl without CS, which the doctor told us about. His name be praised. Apostle and Prince Peter from Warri, Nigeria. God bless you. God bless you. Are you believing God for a miracle, for healing? For a touch. God will touch you.
Le Seigneur vous touchera.
He will heal you.
Il vous guérira.
Someone has a son.
Quelqu'un a un enfant.
And your son is epileptic.
Et votre fils est épileptique.
God is healing your son now.
Le Seigneur guérit votre fils.
Place one hand where you have a challenge.
Mettez votre main là où vous avez les symptômes.
Place your left hand where you have a challenge.
Mettez votre main gauche.
And stretch your right hand to the gadget you're watching me from.
Et tendez votre main droite.
Your TV set.
À votre télévision.
Your laptop.
À votre ordinateur.
Your iPad.
À votre iPad.
Your tab.
À votre tablette.
Your phone.
Votre téléphone.
And let...
Et on verra ce que le Seigneur fera. Toute forme de cancer, le Seigneur vous guérit. Toute personne avec le cancer soit guérie.
I don't know how to explain. There is somebody. You are a lady. They told you that there is so much fluid in your stomach.
Il y a trop de fluide dans votre corps.
Actually, when you are shaking, you hear the noise.
Et vous entendez la voix, le bruit.
You hear the noise. There's
vous
so much fluid.
Il y a du fluide.
And the doctors are telling you they are going to drain the fluid.
Et le docteur a dit qu'on doit les enlever.
But it's going to be very terrible experience.
Et sera terrible.
That's what they told you.
C'est ce qu'on vous a dit.
Tonight.
Cette nuit,
there's a divine surgical operation.
Il y aura une opération divine.
God is healing you.
Le Seigneur vous guérit.
I'm hearing Juliet.
J'entends Juliette.
You've got pains in your stomach.
Your stomach.
God is healing you.
Le Seigneur te guérit.
There's somebody. Your name is Adura.
Il y a quelqu'un qui s'appelle Adura.
You are watching from Lagos.
Tu regardes de Lagos.
Your mom is bedridden.
Ta maman.
Your mother needs healing.
Elle a besoin de la guérison.
Right now, I decree.
Je déclare maintenant.
Healing upon your mom.
La guérison sur ta mère.
In the name of Jesus. Someone watching me. From Miami in America.
Miami, en US.
You have problems. Your ribs.
Tu as des problèmes avec tes côtes.
The loss of your breath is loose.
Tu as des problèmes avec respiration.
Be free.
Sois libéré.
I speak healing to your body.
Je déclare la guérison.
The hand of the Lord touch you.
La main de Dieu te touche.
And bless you.
Et te libère.
From the crown of your head.
De ta tête.
The sole of your feet.
Jusqu'à tes pieds.
Be healed.
Sois guéri.
Be healed.
Sois guéri.
Be healed.
Sois guéri.
I see a family.
Je vois une famille.
This is serious.
Cela est sérieux.
Everyone in that family.
Toute personne dans cette famille.
They are all watching me now.
Ils nous regardent maintenant.
But they are all afflicted with cancer.
Et eux tous ils ont le cancer.
A family.
Toute une famille.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Dans le nom du Seigneur Jésus.
You all are made whole.
Vous tous vous êtes guéris.
HIV is gone.
Le VIH est parti.
God is healing someone of hepatitis.
Le Seigneur guérit quelqu'un de l'hépatite au nom de Jésus.
Hepatitis go. Hepatitis go.
Go. Sort.
Command coronavirus to go.
Je commande le virus de partir.
Growth to go.
Des tumeurs de partir.
Tumor to go.
Des tumeurs de partir.
Appendicitis go.
L'appendicite partez.
Be healed.
Soyez guéri.
Jesus makes you whole.
Jésus vous guérit complètement.
Jesus makes you whole.
Jésus vous guérit.
Jesus makes you whole.
Jésus vous guérit complètement.
The crown of your head to the sole of your feet.
De la tête jusqu'à tes pieds.
In Jesus' name.
Dans le nom de Jésus.
Let's hear what God is doing in your life. Send us an SMS on that line and permanent your healing. Revelation 12:11. You overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. Please let's hear your testimonies in the name of Jesus. Friday is going to be our fire and miracle night, 10:30. Be with us. Tell everyone, if you love prayer, you love to pray. Don't come up on the service only when I come up to minister. Be part of the whole service. Be part of the whole and just enjoy God. Just enjoy God. We're going to be praying from 10:30 till about 3. We're going to have a good time. Just enjoy fellowship. Enjoy the Holy Spirit. And as you enjoy God, you are going to just witness His move and His power in the name of Jesus. My name is Johnson Suleiman. Don't ever forget this. No matter what the matter is, you matter when it matters most. I'll see you on Friday night for a fire and miracle night. Greater glory, greater works.